It's been well established in recent years that a majority of Iranians, especially the generation born since the 1979 revolution, rankle under the strict fundamentalism imposed by Iran's religious government. The best-selling book in Iran today is a translation of the lyrics of Pink Floyd. Less well understood are the underpinnings of Persian history, which has influenced Iranians from the time of the poets Hafez and Ferdowsi in medieval times to today. Afshin Molavi is an Iranian-American and journalist who returned to Iran to consider its culture and identity from before the Arab conquest of Iran in 624 AD to the present. His book is called Persian Pilgrimages, and one of his first pilgrimages was to the tomb of Cyrus the Great, the 6th century king of the Babylonian Empire who gave Iran a rule of law. Cyrus's tomb is 600 miles from Tehran on the Pasgard Plain.
It's about 80 miles outside of the city of Shiraz, on a windswept plain, and you have honey-colored hills flanking you on both sides. And then you see in the distance this large structure of seven white cream marble cinder blocks rising to the sky. And as you approach the tomb, it grows larger and larger and larger. And somewhere out of view of those of us who visited the tomb, there is an inscription that is quite poetic. It says, "I am Cyrus, the Persian who ruled the land of Persia. Grudge me not, therefore, this monument." And interestingly, originally it just said, "I am Cyrus the Persian," but Alexander the Great, who conquered Iran in the 4th century BC, he changed the line because he had great reverence for Cyrus, and he decided that the line should be more befitting the Persian king that he admired so much.
Now, wasn't this pre-Islamic history very much suppressed at the time of the revolution under the Ayatollah Khomeini?
That's true. That's true. And they felt, as many Islamic clerics do, that the history before Islam is jahiliya. It's an Arabic term which means the age of ignorance. And anything that came before the revelation is therefore not worthy. Before the Islamic Republic, the Pahlavi Shahs, who were the kings who ruled Iran before the revolution, they promoted the golden age of Persia as the ideal that Iran should seek to emulate. Whereas when the Islamic Republic came into power, they said, no, hold on a minute. It's not the golden age of Persia that we should emulate. It's the golden age of the Prophet Muhammad and his community in Medina. So you had these two competing golden ages, which made up an important part of the cultural and political discourse of 20th century Iran.
I seem to remember someone showing me in Iran a little medallion of Cyrus the Great that was worn as a kind of anti-the revolution emblem.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And in Iran, Cyrus the Great and these medallions are making a serious revival.
You spent a lot of time with the young people of Iran's major cities. Mm-hmm. Do they recall the ancient history or do they recall the Islamic history or neither?
Well, it's interesting. I think they understand that both are important to Iranian history. For example, I went to the Cyrus tomb with a young man, 26 years old, a child of the revolution. He was 3 years old when the revolution took place. Now, growing up in the Islamic Republic, his history books focused on Islamic history. But as we talked about the history of Cyrus the Great and the history of Persian kings, he would say to me things like, this is a very important part of Iranian history that we should all know about. So I think that they do keenly understand that Iranian identity is neither purely Islamic nor is it purely Persian.
Are young people able to question the culture?
Yeah, absolutely. I did. I did find a lot of that. And one of the most interesting things about my travels through Iran was engaging with young people and seeing how democratic-minded they are and how pluralistic-minded they are. I'll give you an example. There were times where I would talk about issues of culture, about issues of history, about issues of politics with some of the older generation, you know, and I'd be in a room with 50-year-olds, say, and they didn't have the capacity to engage on a democratic level of debate the way some of the young people did. And the young people had no problem disagreeing with each other, and they would disagree, they would air their views, And after that, we would all go out and have a coffee together, and there was no hard feelings.
Where do you think this is all heading, Afshin? You also, in this book, report on some of the suppression of questioning mm-hmm. the establishment. You mentioned journalists who've been put in jail.
That's right.
You talk about backlashes. Recently, mm-hmm. there was a poll commissioned about American culture. The people who undertook the poll were put in prison. There has mm-hmm. been a lot of active repression of questioning where the government of Iran is going.
That's right. There has been. And I think from 1997 onward, we had a newspaper renaissance in Iran, and you had journalists who were questioning fundamental aspects of the Islamic Republic that were heretofore considered taboo. They were questioning the idea of rule by clerics. They were questioning the corruption among some.
All so, things that came in with the election in 1997 of President Mohammad Khatami.
That's right. That's right. And so these newspapers became, and the journalists became national heroes. And when they went on trial, their trials were eagerly watched. It was almost like the O.J. Simpson trial in America. Every night, Iranians would gather to watch the trials of these journalists. And I was in living rooms in which I would hear people cheering the TV as the journalist defended himself against charges like insulting Islamic sanctities or spreading corruption on earth, when the journalist was merely advocating for democracy, freedom, the rule of law, and civil society.
So looking at this ancient culture, which has this collection of monarchs and heroes and mm-hmm. poets and revolutionaries, where do you see things going now?
Well, I think that that over the next 20 years, we are likely to see some serious changes in Iran. And if we look at the demographics alone, the Iranian population is extremely young. Nearly two-thirds of the population is under the age of 30. Half are under the age of 21. That means that two-thirds of the population, 50 million people out of 70 million, were either not born or unwitting children at the time of the Islamic Republic. Overwhelmingly, there's a deep disillusion that is haunting the land. There's a deep disillusion about the state of the economy. There's a disillusion about the state of Iran's politics right now. And this is not just me, Afshin Molavi, saying this. The Ministry of Interior recently commissioned a report on the state of the Iranian street, so to speak. And it was not meant to be leaked, but it was leaked by one of these journalists that we talk about. And it stated that over 94% of Iranians feel that the country is in urgent need of reform. So when you have 94% of the country feeling that the country is in urgent need of reform, it simply is a matter of time before the authoritarianism of the Islamic Republic gives way to the people's demands for greater freedoms, for greater democracy, for civil society, for the rule of law.
Well, Afshin Molavi, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Afshin Molavi, his book is called Persian Pilgrimages, Journeys Across Iran.
Tomorrow, Persian classical music comes of age. We'll have an interview with one of the masters of Persian music.